perfume on a page, waited for it to dry, and I let like each coffee spill tell its own story. It was a way of getting outside of myself. And I loved that process. I did like a series of like, I did 9 total. The series is called Spills of War.
Welcome to the Phase 4 podcast, inspired by Vishen Lakhiani and Ajit Nawalkar, co-founders of EverCoach, a division of Vine Valley. In this podcast, we speak to coaches and creatives about where they were, where they are, and where they are going. This is the intersection of what we focus on expands, and your story is your superpower. My guest today is Daniel. He is a surreal visual artist and a writer, and today he's going to come and share some of his knowledge and wisdom with us, and I can't wait to get into it. But Daniel, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, JP, for having me. Great to be here.
Yeah, I'm appreciated. I love when I see writers and creatives because that's where I'm all about. And so it's close to my heart and I can feel it, right? So maybe tell us a little bit more about yourself and how maybe did you get started in this?
Yeah, no worries. So I'm a Toronto-based writer and visual artist. I've been writing, drawing, doing the whole thing for as long as I can remember. This obsession, this fixation, it started with me because of Dragon Ball Z. When I was really, really young, I'd see those scenes, those characters, the storylines, and I was just really, really obsessed with trying to make something like that, that me and my friends in the school felt strongly about, but have it be like my own thing, my own like narrative, manga, anime, whatever type of thing that me and all my friends could go crazy for. So I would try like writing stories, but I would kind of hit roadblocks with like writing stories. Cause like when you're a young kid, like 12, 11, 10, like what are you going to write about? Right. And like, I was trying to pull off these fantasy epics that I had in my head. And it's like, you're not going to do that, right? You don't have the equipment. So I tried making comic books. I realized really quickly there's a lot of things I didn't know how to draw. And you kind of need to be able to draw a lot of things over and over again to really well for comic books. So then I would write stories when I was younger. And then I thought that like it was comic books or whatever. I thought that was the only way in stories to get the sort of like narratives kind of feeling from people. But in taking art classes in high school, I realized that like you could give that sort of narrative feeling to a viewer in a one-off illustration and in a one-off painting. It was through seeing artists like Salvador Dali, Gustavo Dore, Basquiat, Picasso, seeing those guys. Those were the artists that made me go, oh, okay, you don't need like a comic book or words or a narrative to tell a story. There's a lot you can do with just an image and like symbols and all of that. So that's kind of the direction that I went in.
Love it.
And I'd say that I carried that narrative drive with me in like all of my artwork, but definitely those influences were the root.
I love it. So there's a bunch in there already because like we're about growth mindset here. We're about creating your dreams, following your passions, and also flowing, right? So it sounds like you were looking for it. Maybe you thought there was something there, you couldn't find it, but then you land upon the paintings. And I'd recognize the name Salvador Dali. I don't know any of his work. And Picasso, have you heard this story about Picasso? The girl comes and asks him in making a painting on a napkin. He's just sitting at a cafe and he's drawing this painting. And then he tells the girl, here, you can have this for $20,000. He's Picasso, right? And said, you want $20,000 just for that little napkin you just draw? I saw you do that in 2 minutes. He said, no. It took me 20 years to draw that. Mm. And so it sounds like this is what's happening with your life, where you start slow, you're doing it, fumbling, stumbling to find the right thing. And it sounds kind of like now we're at the point you found it, and the art, the visual art is that.
Yeah, I would say so. I'm pretty privileged to have like my thing. I don't just have one like thing, I have two. It's the art and the writing. So I have like a friend of mine. This is something that he would talk about because we're pretty close. And he'd be like, because he's my age, he's 28 now. And we talked, we'd be like, man, he said one day, he's like, you're very lucky that you found your thing early on and you stuck with it. And he was trying to find his thing, his pastime, the thing that kind of like fuels the soul, right? So I feel very blessed that like I have something that I know excites me to sort of no end. Like I just came back from an art store. I just had to get some paints, like literally just now. And I have this canvas. It's pretty big. It's probably going to be like the biggest I've ever painted on. And I know exactly what I'm going to do. So like, I've just been like hyped. Like I can't wait to just dive in and get started. So I think that I'm pretty lucky to have found my things, I'd say.
Yeah, especially like you said, at a young age, at 28, there's a book called Think and Grow Rich. And he talks about how a lot of people, it takes them until well into their 40s, even 50s, to really find it. Not meaning they weren't doing it, just meaning to realize, oh, that's the thing. And so good for you. That's amazing. I think I know the feeling you're talking about when you have an idea and like, so you have the paints, but the canvas is empty. You know what it's going to be like. And so I don't draw or anything like that, but I know the same thing when you get for writing is mine and yours too. But when it's writing and you have the idea and you just, there's stuff happening, right? And you want to get there. So you, I don't know, for me, I make like a little note and then get back. But sometimes I'll even leave the sentence open last when I'm finishing so that next time I can just come right back and okay, we're right in the middle of it again.
That's a good idea. I never thought of that before. That's very interesting. Because that way you're literally continuing on from where you left off. Because sometimes like starting that new sentence, that new paragraph can be pretty daunting. So yeah, I think that that's something I'll probably keep in mind for, to be honest.
Yeah, and can we talk maybe about the writing? So what kind of writing? I think you said like anime, some stuff, comic books have started, but that wasn't really the thing.
Yeah.
And so what does it look like now?
So now it's like, these days especially, it's mainly poetry. Now, poetry was never my thing. I was never interested in it, like at all, really, I would say. It was only in like university, in the creative writing class I had, where the professor, he'd give me higher marks in the poetry I gave rather than the short stories. And I didn't really understand it because I was trying to be like a short story guy, like a narrative guy. And he said that the poetry was just more interesting. So that kind of planted a seed in my head. So instead of dismissing it as this silly thing, I kind of like embraced it, learned to live with it. And I found that like my poetic voice was pretty clear early on. Like I could tap into it. I could understand it. I could like that thing that you're saying where it's in your mind, it's in your head. You relay it, goes through your body, through your hand, onto the page. I was able to do that pretty early on with poetry, especially as like my brain's, even now, my brain thinks of it as more abstract. It feels more like sketching versus like a short story that feels very, very mechanical. It feels very like formal.
Like comes easier?
Yeah, definitely poetry comes easier because I feel like there's less I have to think about at one time. With a short story, you're thinking about dialogue, character development, plot progression, foreshadowing, and like you can't waste a word because like every word, every sentence, like if you're not moving plot or character forward, it's a waste. So that was a pretty daunting for me. So
nugget one,
yeah. So poetry was the medium that chose me. There's another teacher I had at that same university. She's like, She told me, she's like, sometimes the art form chooses us. And I just dismissed that when she said, I'm like, that's ridiculous. Like that doesn't make any sense.
But I just wrote that down.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Years later, I see the stuff I'm doing now, like going to different events and readings throughout the city, reading my poetry, reading my writing, working on the book that I have coming out this year in June. I see that she was right. Like, why fight something that comes naturally to you? It doesn't make sense. That's sort of where I'm at with my writing.
That's brilliant. And I agree. Yeah, don't fight it, flow, right? If your energy's going to it and it feels good. And it actually sounds like at the time before, you knew you were good at it, but it didn't feel good. Is that, did I hear that or no?
Exactly. You're right. Because like, let's be honest, right? Like, it's a pretty feminine thing, right? It's like, how many like dudes do you know go home and write poems? Like, not men. So it's like, I had that in my head where I'm just like, I don't want this. I don't want to be into this thing. You know, like, I wanted to be like, I don't know, like Hemingway or something. I don't know. Just write like, you know, like proper stories, like manly man stories. But then I was just like, I don't know what age it happened. Something clicked in my head where I was just like, who cares?
Good for you.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, there's a saying, and it's something like, when you're in your 30s, or maybe 20s, you're worried what other people think of you. Then when you get older, like 40, 50, you kind of stop worrying what other people think about you. And then when you turn 70, 80, you realize that nobody was even thinking about you to begin with.
That's a good one. That's a good one. That actually made me laugh out loud. That's a good one. Yeah.
I like what you said about just the idea of flowing, like letting your attention go where it wants to go and following it. And like, I want to kind of move into like creativity and that kind of process. But for me, there's depends on the jobs. There's always 100 jobs to do, right? Mm-hmm. But there's certain times where it's like, okay, I'm just going to take a 3-hour block. Don't really know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to just sit down and I know something will happen in that 3 hours. And the other times, yeah, I got to do this, this, or this, right? Mm-hmm. And so I wonder if you could talk about your creative process and if any of that even applies.
Yeah, definitely. I've been feeling it more so these days. Like, knock on wood, I'm very blessed. I've been very, very lucky last year and this year as well. There's been genuine momentum in terms of my art and writing career. Like I feel it. So I'm very lucky to have that. But the problem is now is that there's a lot of things that sort of are demanding my attention, right? Like before, when I didn't have as much happening, I could like lounge and let the artwork happen and just vibe and chill it, whatever. It's not like that anymore. Like I don't even have as much time to draw these days because there's a lot that I'm doing in terms of like business side and promotion and like speaking with my publisher about like how we can promote the book and like putting my art up in places and doing shows and all that. Like, I'm not complaining. Like, this is what I wanted a few years ago. But at the same time, I see that like the more like, the admin and general business support that I have to do for the creative stuff is now taking over the actual time that I have to actually make things. So that's why what I was saying earlier, like, I'm very excited to, I have the paints back there. I'm very, very excited to just lock in today and paint the thing because there's, aside from this, there was nothing else on the calendar today.
Good. So that stuff, it takes up your time, but is it also sucking your energy as far as like making you feel less creative at all or no?
No, I would say no, because like, it's like a different part of your brain. I studied English at Ryerson, now TMU. So it's like writing these emails, writing responses to people, submitting for calls for submissions, writing artist statements. It's like part of it. So I can use that other part of my brain. I wouldn't say that it takes the energy away. The only thing that I would say is that like, it feels like another job because I have like a guide to buy it. the more like business admin stuff or the creative stuff, that literally feels like you have two jobs sometimes. Like I've had days, right? Like recently there was this like mural proposal. They want to print digital art on this big window or whatever. I had put it off because I was busy with other things. And it was like a Thursday. I had to get up early the next morning for work. My shift ended at 5. I didn't stop working in general on the art thing until like 11:30.
Wow. That's dedication.
It's like you have to... You have to put in the work to get the things you want.
Yeah.
Basically.
I love it because there's a part here where like, I saw a lot of coaches on here too. And when, I remember when you first start out, I remember people were saying like, yeah, quit your job and you can work from a beach or a hotel. And I was always like, no, don't quit your job. Like work on this on the side. Then if it works out after a year or two, maybe you can think about it. But the second you quit your job there, now you're thinking about money, income, and now you're way less creative. I want to ask you, is there a spiritual element to any of this?
Spiritual as in like...
You kind of mentioned earlier, like you sit down and it comes through you. And for me, when I'm writing, sometimes I'll just be like, whoa, where the hell did that come from? And I'm almost like, sometimes it'll only be a 10-minute burst, but I'll be like, okay, I need to just... That's it. I got what I need. I'm done here. And I know it's not me writing. I know God's coming. And part of my affirmations and part of my visualizations is, yeah, I'm asking God to come through, even for this interview, like come through me and say the right words and connect the right thoughts and everything.
I agree, man. Definitely. Because I also believe in God. I'm a Christian. So it's like, for me, there's definitely a spiritual element to it consciously. And there is a spiritual element to it, like subconsciously. Like I've heard people tell me that like years ago that like my art has like a spiritual element to it. And like, I never like really like understood what that meant, but that's one of those comments that stuck with me. So I can definitely relate to the feeling you describe of like not being in control, being like a transmitter, something coming through you, the idea comes and it comes out. And it's like, it's why, like, when like, you hear people say, like, be careful of ego, be careful of, like, getting too arrogant, be careful of getting cocky. It's like, I'll never get cocky, personally, because the best things I've done, the things people connect with the most, are the ones where I feel were less directed by me, if that makes any sense. Right.
So it's like, perfect sense.
It's like, I'm always being humble. Like there's this, I have this one artwork of mine. It's my most popular one. It's called The Black Rose. It is so popular to a point that whenever a random person says, hey, can I buy this print? Before I open the message, I know which one they're talking about. You know? It has connected with people so much. And it was kind of bothering me a bit earlier because I was just like, guys, like this one is like older. This is like an older piece. It wasn't as directed by me in like 100%. I more so felt like I was not in control while doing it. So it was kind of getting in my head where I'm just like, so what does that mean? Am I like a fraud? Am I like a fake artist? Does that then mean that like the thing people like the most are the ones I don't feel the most responsible? But then I just realized, doesn't matter. Like it's okay. Like relax. Like just keep on doing your thing, whatever. Things will fall into place.
Love it. There's a book called Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert. You might have heard of a movie, Eat, Pray, Love. Same author. So Big Magic. It's for writers. It's about writing. And it's about that spiritual side of writing. And she goes on to tell a story in that book that she had this manuscript that she would pick up and put down over the years, right? She would pick it back up, throw it in the drawer, pick it up. And it was very detailed, the setting, the characters, everything. Like it was in Brazil. It was a girl between 28 and 30 and the guy and everything, right? Anyway, she never completes this book. She goes to some book conference or something a couple hours away from her house, and this girl's up promoting her own book. And this girl's book was the exact same story as hers. And she never showed anyone her manuscript. And her point was that the universe will come and try to work through you. God will come try to work through you. But if you're not going to do it, it'll find someone else because it just wants to manifest. And I was just like, whoa, that's such a powerful story.
That's very powerful. That's very, very powerful. Like, I see that sometimes, and it's something I've noticed, when there's like other art or other artists that I really like, for me, when I see something I really like, I go, oh my God, that's so good. It's like a kind of feeling. And then the more that I look at it, I go, oh, like this is like, not that I'm claiming it, but when I see artwork I really like, the reason why I like it is because it's like something I would do. It's like, I feel as though that individual is pulling from the same realm that I do. But the way it's coming through for them, I'm really into. And I've noticed that because whenever I share art that I like, that other artists do with my friends, one of the things that they usually say is, oh, this looks like something you did. And it's like, oh no, like I know where my creative realm is, and I'm attracted to the things that are from my same creative realm. And I say mine, I don't own it. It's not mine. It's just the place where I have access to draw ideas from.
Brilliant. And that's there for everybody all the time. It's just there's a quantum field that you can. And I don't know if you meditate, but this is why meditation is so powerful, because in that moment, you can stop, slow down everything, shut out all your senses, and you can actually tap into that field, something you can develop over and over again. Prayer is the same thing, right? If you come to prayer in pure faith, not like, oh my God, everything went wrong, please fix it. No, that doesn't count. You need to come with a belief first in your heart, like, right? So that's my view anyway.
That makes sense to me. I'd have to agree with that.
What are some challenges in the art you're doing? So, okay, a couple weeks ago, I interviewed this girl. Her name is the Mural Nomad. Her name's Patricia, but she's the Mural Nomad.
Nice.
And yeah, she's running around Australia just painting like huge silos and church walls and hospitals and cool stuff, right? But she was telling me some really unique challenges. So I'm kind of wondering, for your art or your the work you do, your prose, what kind of challenges do you face? Either art or writing.
Definitely with writing, one challenge that I had was like getting comfortable with telling people that you do write poetry. That was a challenge. And another challenge with it was like getting comfortable enough to be vulnerable in writing. Because for me, whenever I would try to write, I would do my absolute very best to make it as disconnected from myself and my own life as possible. Because I didn't want to be like exposed. I didn't want to welcome that vulnerability. Because with artwork, you can make art that's not about you at all, consciously, subconsciously, and you can kind of hide. I feel like when you write, there's no hiding. Every word choice, every like aspect of punctuation, the words you include, the words you don't include, things you focus on, things you don't focus on, it reveals things about you. And I know you can say, oh, it's not me, it's the speaker of the poem, but you wrote it. Like you wrote it at the end of the day. So I was worried about being exposed in that sense with poetry. So that was the thing I had to struggle with. But I had a lot of mentors to where like, they told me straight up, they're just like, listen, because when I was working on my book at the time, when it was just like, a collection of paint, it's just like a manuscript. The one mentor I had, his name is Moes Sirai, he was like, listen, this is fine. You can get this published whenever, it's fine. But he's just like, if you really want to connect with people, you need to write more pieces that are vulnerable, that show more of you. And at first I was like, oh, man, I don't know about this. But then I got over myself and I actually listened to what he was saying. And I realized he was right, because he had picked up on something that I had spent like my whole my whole writing, like before that, avoiding that vulnerability, avoiding being honest about myself in my writing. So the fact that he was able to pick up on it, the fact that I was aware of it and trying to ignore it, it made me go, okay, like, let's dive deep. So I went in, like in my book. The book is called Unwashed, coming out this year in 2024, June 2024. I talked about my family. I talked about growing up. I talked about being a Black person in North America. I really, really went into like a lot of subjects I don't like to write about or talk about. And I was with a friend of mine once. We went to get a dinner. It was me and this other friend. The one friend of mine, we grew up in like the same area. And I wrote something very personal about a kid that we knew from that same area. And I felt compelled to read it to them at that dinner because we were having a very, very deep conversation. So I read it to them, and my friend who grew up in that same area, he just started crying afterwards. And he said that like he felt that what I had written was important, and more people had to hear it. And I wouldn't have got that reaction. I wouldn't have been able to write that thing that I wrote if I was still trying to be disconnected from myself in my writing. So that was a challenge, I would say.
It's amazing how people respond, right, when you do that.
Yeah, people can tell.
Yeah, and the thing I find about it, for me, you have to be you, and you have to be vulnerable and authentic. I think 2024 is the year of authenticity. And I think what happens there is, yeah, you might repel a bunch of people, but that's okay. You don't want those people anyway. But the people that it resonates with, it's even closer to their heart. I feel you. And then, so what are you working on now? You got a book coming out, but as far as the artwork, is there anything you're up to? Anything you're going to be doing this summer or anything?
Yeah.
Launch is a big deal too.
Yes, actually. Thank you for reminding me. I nearly forgot. So I have my first solo show in April. It's going to be in Toronto. It's going to be in this art gallery / laundromat called Dirty Laundry. Yeah, it's very interesting because it's a show based on my coffee spills. At the time, I was having another struggle because when I got back into art again around 2015, when I was in university, I wasn't really engaged with it. But when I got back into art, I realized I was really self-censoring a lot. Like I had that initial period of being so excited and drawing everything. Then when my taste developed, my skills were down here. So I had to like sort of stop self-censoring because it got to the point where like I couldn't even draw something on a page because I was like, oh, that's wrong. Well, I was just in my head.
Perfectionism?
Yeah. So I would spill coffee on a page, waited for it to dry, and I let like each coffee spill tell its own story. It was a way of getting outside of myself. And I loved that process. I did like a series of like, I did 9 total. The series is called Spills of War. And that's what the solo show in April is going to be. It's going to be of my frame, Spills of War, coffee, ink, charcoal illustrations.
That is cool. That's a great idea. I can see it, like, as you're saying, the spill, it would make a different thing. You know what fluid art is?
I don't
know. I don't know if you can see this picture. Let's see. So that's one, right?
Yeah.
And here's another. And what they do, they just kind of throw the paint, but it's onto, like, a granite. It's not granite, but it's onto a block of, like, some kind of marble, and it freezes that way. But some of them, man, there was one. It ended up being like the shape of Africa. And I was like, whoa, there was another one. The way she did it, it turned into like almost the universe from very far away. Yeah, really cool, man. But when you tell me about the coffee spill, it kind of makes me think of that.
Man, a lot of synchronicities.
Yeah. So as we begin to, as we wind down, maybe if this episode resonates with you, please like, subscribe, share, follow, and reach out to Daniel if you want to know more. And I think, Daniel, I ask everyone this question. This is the Phase 4 podcast. And Phase 4 of the 6-phase meditation by Vishen Lakhiani is about creating your future 3 years out. So where is Daniel 3 years from today?
I love this question. I love this question. For me, I usually try and not to put timelines on myself because I feel like it makes too much pressure. So like I kind of think in like big general blocks. Like I know 5 years ago, I was like, within the next 5 years, I would like to have a book, whatever, whatever. So I think in the next 3 years, knock on wood, I would love to be doing an art residency. I don't know where, I don't know which country, I don't know what gallery, whatever place will have me, but just doing an artist residency somewhere warm. But like, you know, I don't know, like, I just like that idea of like being off somewhere, setting time aside, a month, 2 months, a few weeks to where you're just focused on making art. You're locked off from the world, your room and board are covered, hopefully, and you're just in a location producing art. I feel like I really, really need to like tap into that. And I'd be excited to see what I would come up with. So I would say that's something that I would absolutely love to have happen in the next 3 years.
That's awesome. Yeah, you hear all the great artists and writers, that's what they do, right? They'll go get a cabin in the woods or something and come up with these masterpieces. I do this kind of at the end of every year, but I don't do it like that. I'll just go to a hotel room or somewhere different, a totally different environment.
Yeah.
And I start planning out my following year. I'll plan out the books I'm going to read, the courses I'm going to take, the projects I want to do, all these other things. And even like I do it purposely with a plan for my body, a plan for my mind, a plan for my health. That's and then perfect. I'll break it down into quarterly goals. But I feel like by going out, like you're saying, somewhere different, changing your environment and being alone, you can kind of get all that information and set your intentions properly.
I really like that idea, planning the year like that with that sort of board and how you sort of section off the different aspects that you plan. I think that that's great.
Yeah. And I add a theme word to each year too. And then I try to live into that theme word and bring the theme words from the years before. I started this probably 2019.
What was the theme for this year?
Connect and elevate.
Wow.
Yeah. And I just finished my third speaker summit with like a bunch of different coaches, creatives, all coming around to speak at a summit. I'm doing one about creativity in the future, actually. Right. Arts and creativity. And then another one about mental health. Haven't happened yet. But the ones to happen, the first one was called Warrior Woman Within. Mm-hmm. And it was just told to... All these people came together and I just had different conversations like this, but I was like, hey, that person, they all tell a whole one big story, right?
Yeah.
And so then I did it with mindset and motivation for men. And then in the summer was energy world. It was just different energy, Reiki, psychic, meditation, yoga, all sorts of crystals, all of it. And just so connect and elevate was like a real thing. But it kind of drives your behavior, right? Last year was intuition, and I let my intuition guide me all the time. I would ask people the most random questions on here, and I would get like such an amazing story.
Yeah, I love that, Matt. I'm feeling inspired. I wanna take on some of these ideas for sure.
Yeah, and so I guess the reason with the four, so phase four about the 3 years, and the reason that there is 3 years specifically is exactly what you said, that we often overestimate what we can get done in 1 year, but we underestimate what we can get done in 5 or 10. Bill Gates said it, underestimating 10. And so 3 years is kind of in the middle, but man, I've got to tell you, this might be episode 125 or something, 135. And right from the very beginning, so probably about 3 years ago, there was people we were talking about and their phase four, if you go back and listen to those episodes, they've happened, like come to fruition and just like, whoa. So there's definitely something to be said about intending, right?
Yeah.
And even it's in the Bible. God says like where two or more are gathered in my name, I'll be there. And it's like, just means like, listen, when you're thinking about God, creation, everything. And if you're articulate, if you keep it inside, it might happen, but it's going to happen more if you talk about it with other people.
Very true. One thing that my sister said the other day, she's very smart. She was just like, the tongue is very powerful. The things we say out loud about ourselves, about other people, they can become true. So that's one of the things that you have to be careful with.
Yes, sir. Yeah, one thing on that, and then we'll wrap up. I hear it all the time, right? I go to pick up my children at school, and I hear other. I have to go pick up my kid. I have to drive him to hockey. I have to go here. And I'm in my head going, I get to do this, and I wake up every day so happy that I get to do all of those things.
Exactly, it's a blessing. All of those situations. It's a privilege, right? Because like, one thing I hear my parents say is like how quickly we grew up. And they miss those things. So it's like, it's very, very good on you that you're aware of it. You're in the moment and you're embracing.
I feel lucky, man. Even like Christmas, my son's 9, my daughter's 7. And like, that's, I miss those days like in 2 years, right?
Yeah.
That'll be.
They grow so fast.
Yeah. All right. So I think this is where you kind of, before I ask my last question, I let the guests take it wherever they want. So if you want to leave a message of inspiration, hope, if you have something to sell, sell it. And if you just want to tell us something about yourself that we don't know, go there, wherever you want to go.
Okay. Well, I'd like to say thanks to JP. Really, really great conversation. I feel privileged to be on the podcast. I just wanted to say, if you want to see more of my artwork, you can go on danielmaluka.net, Daniel, M for Mary, Aluka.net. As well, I'm on Instagram at whatdanieldrew. My poetry collection, titled Unwashed, will be coming out this year, June 2024. So you can keep an eye out for that. If you go on my website, there's like an email sign up. You can get on the mailing list. You'll get all the info of it when there is info. And in terms of like inspiration, final words, or whichever, I saw a quote today. I was on Instagram. And I'm not one of these Instagram quote people. I actually kind of like make fun of people who like repost quotes on Instagrams and those squares. But it said something like, it was like, the reason why things are so hard for you is because your path is bigger. You're destined for greater things. Because that, like when I was younger, that definitely used to be something that I would always ask myself. I'd be like, why do things seem to be so much easier for everyone else? Not everything came naturally. I'm like, why is that? But that quote kind of like reminded me of who I used to be and kind of put things into perspective.
Yeah. It reminds me of Sarah in the Bible's asking for kids for decades and decades, and she doesn't get kids till she's like 80 years old. But there's another one you just reminded me, Jim Rohn, and he says, I forget. It was something about don't wish it was easier, wish you were better or something like that. That's a nice one.
Yeah.
And then there's a final quote to match with that is Donald Miller in a book called Business Made Simple. He says something very similar about those who've gone, struggled and journeyed the farthest in life get to climb the best and biggest mountain, kind of paraphrasing.
Yeah. And imagine what that view is like, right?
Yeah. And so my final question usually is where can people reach you, but you got there. So how about if you could go anywhere in the world, where would you go or what?
Oh man, back home. Back home to South Africa. Easy. The reason why, I really, really miss my uncle. He's one of my favorite people. We have each other on Facebook, and I don't know. He was a very, very like big figure in my life growing up. So yeah, I want to see him.
Is he in Soweto or?
He's in the landlocked country within South Africa called Eswatini, used to be called Swaziland. I just say South Africa because it's so confusing. Like Like when you explain it, people always go, "What? Like, huh?" It's like the same. South Africa for simplicity.
I only know a lot about Africa and South Africa from reading a book, A Long Walk to Freedom, is Nelson Mandela's autobiography, and it's mm-hmm. definitely one of the best books I ever read. Mm-hmm. And then more recently, I listened to an autobiography of Winston Churchill, and he spent most of the thing, he was in Africa for most of the book. So, but yeah, very cool. One of my good buddies, he just was in Africa for 2 months, and he's just going to try and go back again. He loves it. 10 times in 10 years, he's been there.
It's a perspective changing.
Yeah.
Beautiful continent. Beautiful continent.
All right, Daniel. Well, I just want to say thank you, and I'm really grateful for this conversation and for your time today.
Thank you, JP. Thank you for having me. I'm grateful as well. It was really, 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 really good.